The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Coming up on today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. Wow. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here we go. Can we identify right now, at this moment, what the Lord, not what we are, but what the Lord is working on in our lives right now? Right now, can you identify it? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But I'm telling you now, when you make that call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Aww.
That sounds nice.
Doesn't that sound nice? Just in case you forgot, it's Thursday. I'm just letting you know.
Yep, I remember. I had it down. Happy Thursday.
All right, I do want to say that on Tuesday for Noelle and I, it was relaxing and chillaxing. I got up, I did my devotions, right? We didn't work. She had the day off, I had the day off. We did a lot of sitting. It was wonderful. Oh, we had such a good time because we did nothing.
I won't lie. When you were introducing me, I was thinking, okay, it's Thursday, right?
No problem, brother. Yeah. I go through that every day, especially when I wake up. What day is it? What day? Where am I? Bottom line, if you have a desire to share a praise report, I got a praise report that our wonderful Joy Ann filled out. I'm going to read some of it. She did say it was public, so if I'm doing that wrong, that's a mistake on my end. We'll do that later, though. I do want to let you know, if you've got a praise report, this is a great opportunity to share it. There's nothing, you don't have to speak well, you don't have to say it well, it doesn't have to come off well. It's all about what the Lord does with it once it's in the air. You know, I know people think, well, he's a fabulous preacher. If God doesn't anoint that which is spoken, it means nothing. That's just that simple. As great as a speaker as somebody may be, and there have been many, many great speakers throughout the history of mankind, if God doesn't touch it, it means nothing. So here, in fact, is your opportunity to share a praise report. It's also your opportunity to join together with other Christians, other believers, different denominations. It's fine. it's one body of Christ. There's different members in the body. We have different places, different elements. That's cool. 12 tribes, one Israel. So we understand that we can pray for one another, bless one another, encourage one another, follow what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 teaches us to encourage one another as we see the day of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. His return is in route. Think of that. The return of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. Wow. So if you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, awesome, awesome, awesome. We'll do Bible trivia a little later on. We do want you to let you know you can call us. You can also text us, and that's fun because some people it's just a little easier to go about doing the text. The text number 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
Simple as can be. Additionally, you can send an email, super safe that way, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David. It will come to the Chromebook. It does take a little bit, but it gets there. david@hemustincrease.org. Because we are a nonprofit entity. A couple things to tell you. I did have a wonderful interview with Roger Marsh from the Bottom Line radio broadcast. He's actually in San Francisco, L.A., San Diego. He's also in Dallas. He's also in Denver and a few other places. And so we have found out just yesterday that interview that we've done together will be airing on January 8th. More information will be forthcoming. But it was a fun interview, and I hope it's a blessing, and I'll get you the info as soon as I know. Additionally, a quick reminder, check the website for the schedule, because on Monday, it will be a phenomenal replay, but there will be nobody here in the studio. So I'm just reminding everybody up ahead of time. We will get to trivia in a little bit. Plus, we will get to a few other things. Like I said, I'll be reading Joy Ann's praise report as well as discussing another issue or two. But in the meantime, where do we go? We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. I want to pick up on a couple of really cool points in the beginning of this as we close out chapter 11. And this is what Paul writes under the verbal plenary process from the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit helping the writer write without the writer losing their personality in the process. Verse 30 says this, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is forever worthy of praise, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artus secured the city of Damascus and the Damascens in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his grasp." Wow! If you don't read scripture and get excited, you need to read it again or maybe get a different translation or do something to kind of puff it up, because you have not puffed it up so that you can see. This is dramatic stuff. Paul is writing them and saying, hey, you know what happened to me? I had to escape. They had to put me in a basket. They had to lower me through a window, you know, on this wall just so I can get away. If you were watching that in the movie, you'd be like going, whoa. Well, this is what happened in real life. And so there's two super cool principles that I'm going to pull out of this that I love these, especially when they recognize the greatness of God and our ability to connect to that. The first principle is simply this. Paul says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is forever worthy of praise. Now, how long is that? Forever? What is he? Worthy of praise. You know, I know that there's people that extreme when they always just go, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And it's so repetitive, it's a little bit absurd, you know, because they every other word, and it's not sincere. But there are those same people, those same groupings that have people that actually have a genuine, sincere, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And that's awesome. It might not be you, but it might be them. And that's wonderful. There's nothing bad about that. And I actually have a smaller problem with the Christians who are like, we can't thank God for everything. Sure you can. What do you mean you can't thank him for everything? You don't think it's all going to work together for good? Then is God a liar? Well, no, I'm not saying he's a liar. So then you can't say thank you because I know it's coming? You can't say thank you because I know we're going to prevail? You can't say thank you because goodness is going to be brought about because of the kindness and the graciousness and the mercy and the love of God? You can't say thank you ahead of time. You have to wait till it's completed. Don't you pray over your food and say thank you before you eat it? Well, not if you're Jewish, but basically Gentiles do. What they say, Lord, thank you for this food. You haven't eaten it yet. I know you're saying thank you in advance. Nothing wrong with that. You're appreciative to the Lord of what he's going to do and what he's going to give you and what's going to take place. That's a great thing. And so people that are like, well, I don't want to be like, crazy thank you. What do you think you're going to do in heaven? Here, look at this verse. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is forever worthy of praise. How long do you think you're going to be praising the Lord? Forever. If that irritates you, you're going to hate heaven. How about that? And so when you got those people that are just that, oh, I don't like that. Fine. But what you're really saying is you're opposed to God being praised. Don't be like that. I know what we go through is tough. I know, if you look at the scriptures, I mean, it's clear. I mean, Paul is his life is, gets battered. You get to see some of that. And in the book of Acts, we find out it says, through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know that's not a powerful verse for the prosperity group, but too bad. Because it's what it says. You go through many tribulations. You're supposed to be looking like Jesus. Jesus went through a lot of trials. Hello. But for the joy set before him. And so when you're going through it, I'm with you in that. I understand it. I go through it too. I feel it. There's moments where I break. There's moments where I don't break. There's moments where I praise. And there's moments where I pout. How weird is that? Not weird at all. It's part of the process of growing up and becoming Christ-like. The more that we recognize and trust the Lord throughout the situation, the more we are being like Jesus. And God is forever worthy of the praise that we offer, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto the Lord. Now, you've got a lot of things in your life that can be corrected, and quite frankly, by the grace of God, will be corrected in his perfect timing and not in yours. That's for all of us who are control freaks. But the truth of the matter is that in everything you go through, thanksgiving is appropriate. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You're looking for the will of God in your life? You can start by saying thank you in everything. People are like, well, I want to know specifically what he wants me to do. But you're not even saying thank you for the general. Why do you expect him to give you the specifics? That seems weird. So let's give God the praise, the worthy. He's so worthy of praise and thanksgiving. It should be a part of everything we do. He's forever worthy. Let's operate in that. Right? That's just something we all could be like, yeah, got to do better. This year, going to do better. Just going to have a better attitude, going to be more appreciative, going to be more responsive, more respectful of that which the Lord desires. Then the other thing Paul says, and this is gonna jolt a few people, but hey, jolting can be fun. The second principle he brings up is this. He calls God as his witness. So he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is forever worthy of praise, knows that I am not lying. Then he starts talking about the governor in Damascus, and the governor's trying to take him out, right? So here's the thing. It's hard to take everyone seriously who makes the claim, as God is my witness. Because not only have you seen that, heard that, and gone through the process of people being on the news or people on some kind of video or some kind of drama or some kind of television. So we all go through it like, okay, yeah, sure. But here's the key. You know that a person who says, as God is my witness, who hardly knows God and has no reflection of Jesus, that don't count. That doesn't count. You know that because they're not even connected. But when it comes from a genuine and honorable Christian, we need to give those statements more weight. And Paul is saying, you know what? God is my witness. That, from a genuine Christian who wrote a great deal of the New Testament, seems to give it great validity. So there are times when those statements are valid. Not always, but, you know, because some people use them just as an out. But you should have discernment. You should have enough wisdom to understand that. So he's saying, hey, God is my witness. He knows I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. And then he makes this mention. He says, he talks about his mission impossible. And his mission impossible was escaping from the government. And the governor of Damascus was going after this guy. So we should just say this without trying to create any kind of stir. But the government is not always correct in its persecutions. And I think most people would just go, well, that's for sure. And why is that? It's because it's still sinful man running government. And sometimes they're wrong. Everybody goes, you should do whatever the government tells you to do. The definitive line is when the government tells you to do something that is contrary to God, it is better to obey God than men. And there is no other way around it. So the government tells you to go start shooting Christians, and you obey it, you're in disobedience to God. You might be obeying the government, but you're obeying little g and not big G. That's that big difference right there. All right, take a deep breath. Okay, everybody breathing? Good. I want to make sure you're breathing. I do want to share a praise report, then we'll do our trivia question. This is from Joanne. I'll do my best to read it. Hi, Dr. David and Noel. I'm praising the Lord for how much favor my sister and I are experiencing. We had family and friends shower us with so much love, gifts, funds, and to help this Christmas season. This is the first year in several years that I've had to put up Christmas lights in front of my house, or that I have put up Christmas lights in front of my house because of my grief over Stan and the marriage, which was very difficult for her. So we thank everybody for being a part of the reason and having the favor poured out on us. Your prayer for us on the air and through the ministry, we're finding it easier to pray with others and in a natural and more spontaneous way. We're also finding more opportunities to share our faith. God is so good. Every day is remarkable. I did read bits and pieces of that, but I just want to say we did get a chance to pray for Joanne and her family and ask for there be great favor, and they've had great favor, and we just say praise the Lord. How is that not cool? You know, you can get a lot of favorable things from a lot of places, but when you get favor from God, it's phenomenal. And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. No, oh, here comes the other shoe. Attitude. All right, here's your first trivia question. Should be pretty easy. I'm expecting most people to get this. Who made the golden calf? Who made the golden calf? Was it Aaron, Moses, or Miriam? Your reference point is Exodus chapter 32, verse 3 and 4. That is Exodus chapter 32, verse 3 and 4. Who made the golden calf? Was it Aaron, Moses, or Miriam? One of those three. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease, from John 3:30.org. Okay, now, before we take a call or anything else, we have to go to the website, because if we don't go to the website, I'm going to have a pink ping pong ball thrown at me, and I'm trying to avoid that at all costs. He's got the pink ping pong ball in his hand. I'm going to send you up to the website. There's a lot of cool stuff up there. There's really quite a bit of encouraging audio and video up there. And there is a minor opportunity to search some of the podcasts. There's only about 4,500 hours with about, I don't know, 300 topics. And also, at the same time, there's an opportunity to give, and we would appreciate if you would consider partnering with the ministry. Here's our verse for the day, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all of your produce. We have tried to make the giving process very easy. There's five different ways to give. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeyMostIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
HeyMustIncrease.org.
Yes! See, what I think is great about that is if the rapture happens, that's the noise. right after the trumpet, that's the noise. Come on, gone. See ya. All right. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, Dr. Spin. This is Deborah.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. I hope you're all right.
I'm doing wonderful. Always wonderful, by the way, to hear your voice. Love to hear it. All right, you ready for this one? I'll set it up. You hit it out, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Who made the golden calf? Was it Aaron, Moses, or Miriam?
That would be Aaron.
That is correct, Amundo! That is exactly right. And after he made it, and Moses confronted him, he goes, "They made me do it."
Well, you know, I always have to go for the easy questions.
Wisdom is in your life. That is a good call. Great job.
All right. Well, thank you, and y'all have a good day.
All right. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So much fun. All right. There you go. All right. Let's get back to our text-a-rooney, spoony, text-a-rooney, spoony, text. I don't know. It just rhymed. It just came out.
You thought you had something for a minute and then just lost it.
I just lost it. Yeah, it was there. It was gone. Kind of like most of the days of my life. Anyhow, let's go into chapter 12 now of 2 Corinthians. This is a phenomenal. This has just been a great book. We are winding it down, though. Actually, we're closing in on finishing off three different books again, and I have no idea what the new books are going to be, so we're going to have to look at that. I have considered Revelation, but I talked to Noel about it last night, and I said, if I teach Revelation and give all the different points of view, you just will not believe how many people will just explode. I mean, they will go, no, that's not what it means. No. And it's just like, I don't know if I'm up for that or not. I have to figure it out. Anyway, let's do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to gain. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of it, I do not know. But God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out of it, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise. The things he heard were too sacred for words. Things that man is not permitted to tell." Yikes. See, I read stuff like that and I go, you know, look, you've written all this stuff, and he's like going, "Yeah, I'm gonna just tell you now, it's too sacred for words." What does that mean? Too sacred for words? I mean, just think of how powerful that is. So let's understand what's going on and not miss this. My time's getting tight, so let me get right to it. Chapter 12. In this context, Paul's making it clear he knows his boasting is silly. He's manifesting it in goofiness. For those that say you can't be goofy, you just missed that. Paul notes that he had visions and revelations. This is not illuminations, which takes place when a light bulb goes off in your head and you get something from God. That's an illumination. A revelation has to do with something new and previously unknown. Paul says this, "I know a man in Christ." Paul's talking about himself in the third person. God does this in the book of Job. It happens multiple times throughout scriptures. He talks about being caught up to the third heaven. There's a scholarly persuasion that there's three levels to heaven, and no, it's not Catholic. It's rabbinical in its origin. And to some degree, it's affirmed by Paul in this very weird writing. Other people believe that it's that it's heaven as opposed to the sky and the starry heavens visible from the earth. They just think it's heaven. The problem with that is that when Scripture talks about being in heaven, the words are communicated. Paul is in a place where words cannot be communicated. They're too sacred. This seems like a different place altogether. Whether in the body or not, Paul mentions a couple times, this does not mean that everyone can have an out-of-body experience. That's a lie. Did you hear what I said? It's more plausible to understand that if you were selected to write the majority of the New Testament, you were shipwrecked, beaten, and targeted for proclaiming the gospel. And even then, it's so deep you don't even want to share it for 14 years. Then I can buy into it. You see how vastly different that is from people going, well, I had an out-of-body experience because I'm spiritual. Yeah, I didn't see you get shipwrecked. I'll have to check into that. All I'm trying to say is Paul is telling everybody by what he communicates, this was one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me. And then it's so weird to him, by the way, he talks about it in the third person. You know what he didn't do? He didn't write a book and sell movie rights. Oh, interesting. All right, if you're in San Diego, hang out with us. You go to hemustincrease.org to hit the Listen Live button. If you're in San Diego, don't go anywhere. Hang out with us and have a good time. We'll take a short break and then come back. Some really important stuff, so I don't want to, by any means, fail to communicate it. So I'm going to kind of run it back through so you can follow it and just pick up on a point or two. As they rode, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? You can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he can, right? So he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And I want to just, this is, and then I got one more point. That's why I split it up this way. Here's the thing, and I know it's ridiculous to say, but I'm going to say it to you, and it's important for you to recognize. There's a lot of trials going on right now in the world, in your life, in your family, in different people's lives. I understand it happens for me too, okay? I got a daughter who's going through the mill. I got a son who's recovering from COVID. You know, you've got all these things going on and people that we love having a hard time going through the up and the down. And you know that there's a lot of that stuff going on. I understand. But there is another part of me that also understands this text. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he's saved. That's why. And all the stuff that we go through, it's a drag. It's like, but there is coming this moment where the fullness of the redemption, of the salvation that's been granted to us by grace, received by faith from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get the fullness of that. We'll be dancing on streets of gold. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more memory of all of the ridiculousness, and it will be awesome. And if that's not a reason to rejoice, then we have lost our minds. We're going through a difficult spot, and not every spot's difficult, let's at least be honest, but if you're going through it for 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, it has its moments. But there is a salvation that is eternal, that doesn't have a limit to the number, and this is, and I still say that what Rick Warren wrote in the Purpose-Driven Life, that first page is the best page of the entire book. You know, your life is like a 1/16th or 1/32nd of an inch on a 100-mile-long piece of tape. That's what this life is. And it's important for us to understand that we have a cause for rejoicing. And for all of the pain and the sorrow, there's nobody that ought to rejoice more than us.
The David Spoon Experience.